And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News, with Paul Hill.
The Evangelical Lutheran Church of Ghana has elected the Reverend John Shadrach Donko as its new president. The Reverend Donko officially takes office on July the 1st, 2018. For the past 2 years, a constitutional review committee has been working to prepare the grounds for a new system of leadership for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Ghana. On January the 27th this year, the highest decision-making body of the Evangelical Lutheran Church met in Kumasi at a special delegates' conference and voted overwhelmingly for an amended constitution and a new system of governance and leadership for the church in Ghana. The newly approved system includes the appointment of senior pastors who will be responsible for mission outreach, pastoral leadership, and church relationships throughout each of the 10 regions of Ghana. The senior pastors will work with the new church president to help the congregations and pastors do their ministry by bringing the gospel out to more villages, towns and cities in the nation of Ghana. The next step was to elect an entirely new leadership for the church, that is, a new generation of leadership. To this end, an election was conducted on Saturday, March the 17th, at the Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Kumasi. The Reverend John Shadrach Donko emerged as the new president, and the Reverend Dr. Ebenezer Bofo was elected to first vice president. The Reverend Donko has also studied at Westfield House in Cambridge, UK. The Reverend Dr. Paul Coy Finn, who led the church in Ghana for the past 40 years, was at the conference. He pledged to work with the incoming officers to ensure a smooth transition and subsequent installation of the newly elected officers in June this year. In his speech after the election, the Reverend Donko, the newly elected president, observed that these are huge changes for the church in Ghana, as well as a great deal of both anticipation and trust in the Lord's guidance as the church moves forward. The newly elected officers will serve a 3-year renewable term, after which they will be eligible for a final 3-year term. A Polish priest has been called to account for his actions after wishing an early death on Pope Francis. Father Edward Staniec, a parish priest in the southern city of Krakow, had apparently been angered by the Pope's call for Catholics to take in Muslim refugees because it was their Christian duty. In a sermon delivered last month, Father Staniec said, "I pray for the Pope in his wisdom to open his heart to the Holy Spirit, but if he does not, I pray for his quick departure to his Father's house. I can always ask God for a happy death for him, because a happy death is a great grace." Later in the sermon he said, "There is no dialogue with Muslims, and that the doors to the diocese and parish are open only to believers in Jesus Christ." After details of the sermon became widespread, the priest was called to see the Archbishop of Krakow, Marek Jaruzelski. Although the Archbishop said he had heard the news about the priest's comments about Pope Francis with great pain and regret, it remains unclear whether Father Staniec faces any punishment or sanction. The Pope's call for Catholics to demonstrate charity towards Muslim refugees has struggled to make headway in Poland and Central Europe as a whole. Despite the Polish government and other governments in the region seeking to portray themselves as defenders of Christianity and its values, they have adopted a hard line on refugees. The Polish government has made it clear it regards refugees as a security threat and has been steadfast in its opposition to plans by the EU to force it to accept refugees under a quota scheme. Viktor Orban, the Hungarian Prime Minister, has said Europe faces an invasion of migrants and that those who don't block migration at their borders will be lost. Pope Francis has asked forgiveness for all Christians who buy sex from women, saying men who frequent prostitutes are criminals with a sick mentality who think that women exist to be exploited. "This isn't making love, this is torturing a woman. Let's not confuse the terms," Francis insisted. The Pope made the comments during an intimate 4-hour-long listening session with 300 young people who were invited by the Vatican to Rome. The purpose of the session was to help church leaders learn about young people's attitudes towards the Catholic Church. Blessing Akkadian, who was forced into prostitution but escaped, asked Francis how the church would allow Catholics to be clients for the many Nigerian women in Italy who, like her, were victims of human trafficking. "I ask myself and I ask you, is this the male chauvinistic church able to truthfully ask itself about this high demand by clients?" she asked. Francis, who has made the fight against human trafficking and modern-day sex slaves a priority of his pontificate, urged young people to take up the fight against trafficking and forced prostitution. "This is one of the battles that I ask you young people to do for the dignity of women," he said. The pontiff said forced prostitution was born of a sick mentality that no form of feminism has managed to rid from society, one that thinks that women are to be exploited. Speaking directly to a Kurdian, he concluded, "I want to take advantage of this moment because you talked about baptized and Christians to ask your forgiveness from society and all the Catholics who do this criminal act." Francis has insisted that young adults, Catholic and not, be integral in the process, informing the otherwise all-male, celibate and rather old church hierarchy about the future of the church. "Young people must be taken seriously," he said. He got an earful when he opened the meeting by urging the young people to speak with courage, without shame or anesthesia to dull the truth. Nicholas Lopez, a college campus minister from Texas, told Francis that young people today face racism, poverty and gang violence, as well as unjust immigration laws that threaten to split children from families. Angela Marcus from Australia told Francis young women want debate in the church about sexuality, same-sex attraction and the role of women. "People should not be expected to be buried in their local churchyard because space is running out," church leaders have warned. Alex Glanville from the church in Wales said people could no longer automatically expect to be buried close to home. The church said it was struggling to pay for the upkeep of graves because it was no longer receiving income from burials. Mr. Glanville told the BBC, "We can no longer take it for granted that we will have a last resting place in or near our community. The majority of our churchyards will soon be full, and we do not have the resources to extend them or open new ones." Industry figures have warned that grave reuse needs to be allowed in order to head off a burial space crisis. The Institute of Cemetery and Crematorium Management has previously lobbied for a change in the law allowing graves to be reused. It says the situation is at crisis point. Chief Executive Julie Dunk said, "Because of the pressures on land, due to new developments and housing, it is not always possible to find space for a new cemetery. Even if they do build a new cemetery, the existing one still needs to be maintained, which is the council's statutory duty. Because there are no new burials, it becomes a financial burden on the local authorities." The ICCM also said that remains could be dug up after 75 years with family's permission and reburied in a smaller coffin to create more space. Cardiff Council is currently planning to create a new cemetery at a cost of £3 million amid concerns that its busiest sites could run out of space in 2 years. The BBC said its investigation found that many other Welsh cemeteries were under similar pressure. Some cemeteries are almost full and are no longer allowing families to reserve new spaces. In other areas, cemeteries have more than a century worth of space left. The situation in England is also thought to vary area by area, with some regions under immense pressure and others with many decades of capacity left. As previously reported on Lutheran Radio UK, churchgoers will no longer have to fumble in their pockets and purses for loose change or notes as the Church of England introduces contactless payment terminals in more than 16,000 churches, cathedrals and other religious sites. Contactless payments have been on trial in 40 Anglican churches since last summer, but from Tuesday will be extended to all dioceses with the aim of making donations easier and faster. Congregations will also be able to donate via text message. The C of E takes about £580 million a year in donations, although most are from standing orders and fees rather than cash given in church. It began looking at cashless payment due to the declining numbers of people carrying cash. Its portable card readers can take payments from contactless bank cards, chip and pin, Apple Pay and Google Pay. A merchant expected to be a church volunteer is needed to input transactions, most likely at the start or end of a service or event. People booking churches and halls for events will also have the option of electronic payment. Technology firms SumUp and iZettle will provide the services. John Preston, the C of E's National Stewardship Officer, said, "There is a clear need for our parishes to introduce card and contactless facilities, and we are excited to make this available. How we pay for things is changing fast, especially for younger churchgoers who no longer carry cash, and we want all generations to be able to make the most of their place of worship. Alison Davey, the secretary of St. George's Church Hub in Stamford, Lincolnshire, said, "Our parishioners can occasionally find themselves trapped for physical cash, so it's fantastic to be able to offer an alternative which is quick and convenient. We hope this is a step forward for St. George's and many other churches like it in staying ahead in the modern era." Last month, Margaret Cave, the vicar of Christ Church in East Dulwich, South London, who took part in the six-month trial, told The Guardian she would like a totally cash-free church. "It's nice just to feel a part of the 21st century. When a young couple come in to discuss their marriage bans, which cost £43, I no longer have to send them over the road to the cash point. Also, if people are giving money by card, there is no question that any of it is going to go missing." The Catholic Church is also moving to contactless collections to make donations easier in an increasingly cashless society. Several parishes in the Diocese of Westminster allow parishioners to donate via text message. A statue of a crucified Star Wars stormtrooper in a church exhibition has prompted as a row as parishioners complain it is offensive to Christians. The controversial piece of art, which features a large model of one of the film's soldier characters attached to a cross, has been moved from a prominent position in a new exhibition at St. Stephen Walbrook in central London to the back of the church. It forms part of the Stations of the Cross exhibition, which also features the work of Francis Bacon. The exhibition has been organised in support of the Missing Tom Fund, set up to find Tom Moore, who was last seen in 2003. A St. Walbrook churchgoer who wishes to remain anonymous said, "It's a bit silly really, why use our church? It's plainly offensive to Christians, to be honest." But a nun, who wished to remain anonymous, said, "I didn't find the big crucifixion offensive. It's not to my taste, but there you go." Francis McKenna from Isleworth, West London said, "I thought the art was surprising. I've never seen things like this in a church. The Star Wars character was a bit weird. I didn't care for that so much." Tom Moore's brother Ben, who is organising the exhibition, said, "I didn't intend to upset anyone. I like to raise awareness for my missing brother. I haven't seen him since 2003. He added, "I aim to create awareness and debate." Artist Ryan Callanan, who created the controversial statue, which will go on sale for £12,000 once the exhibition has ended, said, "St. Walbrook's is a 500-year-old dome church designed by St. Christopher Wren that survived the Blitz." The rector, the Reverend Jonathan Evans, said, "This is an exhibition of images designed to provoke thought from artists grappling with their response to the challenge and scandal of Christ's cross. Among these, Ryan Callan's Stormtrooper Crucifixion may be viewed as being among the more controversial images in the exhibition." He added, "For me, Stormtrooper Crucifixion raises similar questions to those which C.S. Lewis raised in his science fiction trilogy. That, were other races to exist on other planets, would Christ be incarnated among those races in order to die for their salvation? Lewis's view, which he set out in the story running through the trilogy, is that Christ would do so. For Christian, Ryan Callahan's image can lead us to a similar conclusion. I commend these images to you as image that can open our ideas and minds to new reflections on the internal significance of Christ's sacrifice." Armed violence broke out in eastern Pakistan on Sunday, 18th of March, over an Easter banner hung outside a church. The incident took place in a Christian colony in Bawala, Punjab province. Police intervened and arrested three Muslim suspects, while seven injured Christians were taken to a local hospital. The church's pastor, Halim Masih, took the matter to local police, where he filed a first information report which stated, "Today at about 1 p.m. I was conducting a worship service when a group of men, including a government official, equipped with firearms, barged into the church. As soon as they entered, two of them forcibly took down gospel verses written on banners while shouting abusive words, tore them into pieces, and then denigrated them by throwing them down." The FIR also stated that Christians inside the church were injured by being hit with sticks and pistol butts. News spread quickly via social media that armed Muslims had attacked a church and injured the pastor and four church elders. But Pakistan's Daily Express reported that two Christian groups had been fighting for supremacy. Church member Iftikhar Bhatti, a Bawala, told a World Watch Monitor the clash related to the banner. Hanging on the front of the church was a Christmas banner, he said. Some of our church members went to replace it with an Easter banner, but they were stopped by Muhammad Sharif, a Muslim living in the area. Then Pastor Halley Massey went along to help attach the banner to the wall, but Sharif and his sons tore it down and trampled on it. The church service had ended by then, and as church members started leaving, they also got caught up in the clash. The Daily Express said the banner had a picture of Muhammad Sharif, who is a local government official. The argument began after that banner was torn down. And finally, a man in Indiana decided to take a cab to and from the bank he robbed, police claimed. Derek Faria, 19, was arrested on Thursday less than an hour after he allegedly robbed a Fifth Third Bank in Evansville. Faria reportedly ordered a taxi cab at home before taking to the bank, where Evansville police said he gave the bank teller a note that read, "This is a robbery, give me all your money." Faria then reportedly did not have a weapon. The man then took the cab back home and paid the driver $20 from the money he stole. Authorities recovered all the money stolen during the robbery, except the $14 cab fare and a $6 tip.
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone, and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.